Good afternoon, everyone. I'm calling to order this February 1st meeting of the Tax Committee. We do have a quorum present. Vice Chair Norris is making his way up to the podium to take on his awesome responsibility of moving the minutes for January 31st, 2023, as submitted.
Almost missed my big moment, Chair Gomez. I will go ahead and move the minutes from the January 31st meeting of the Tax Committee.
Thank you, Vice Chair Norris. Is there any discussion on the motion? Not seeing any. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed, please say no. Motion carries. All right. Well, welcome, everybody. It is Construction Materials Tax Exemption Day. Did I say that right? All right, an excellent day in Tax Committee. So we're going to hear, we have three bills in front of us. You know, I just want to note that we may hear more of these as they come in because we know that this is an issue that impacts communities across the state and that the bills that we're hearing today don't represent kind of the full spectrum of what's needed. So these are, in a way, they're sort of introducing us to the issue and our placeholders, and we're going to be able to have more discussion as we move forward with crafting our omnibus tax bill about what the whole kind of approach to construction materials sales tax exemptions are. But just wanted to note that, and with that, we'll turn it over to Representative Bonner. Welcome to the committee. Thank you so much. I'm going to move that House File 152 be laid over for possible inclusion in the omnibus tax bill. And Representative Bonner, please explain your bill to the committee.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Although we in Maple Grove like to think that we are special and exceptional, but I certainly appreciate the introduction. Madam Chair and members, I am here today to represent the North Metro Regional Public Safety Training Facility that is one of only three law enforcement training centers in the state that provides the space for completion of training and state required qualifications for law enforcement from the FBI and SWAT, the county sheriff's office, and the state patrol, and our local police departments. The training facility proudly works in partnership with our surrounding cities. In the previous cycle, we were fortunate to secure the funding for bonding on much of the needed expansion of this facility. And in fact, that's scheduled to complete this spring in about April. While the current law provides tax exempt status for police and fire stations, it does not unfortunately currently extend to the training facility, which is why we're here today. The bill before you does one simple thing. It clarifies that the North Metro Regional Public Safety Training Facility, located in Maple Grove, qualifies for a refundable sales tax exemption on materials and supplies used in the construction, expansion, and to remodeling of this public safety facility. I want to thank the Tax Committee for their previous leadership to exempt other public safety facilities from the sales tax on construction, and I am proud to represent the North Metro Regional Public Safety Training Facility and law enforcement professionals it serves across our region. This bill simply ensures this facility receives the same tax status as other public safety facilities in our state. And with that, Madam Chair and members, I ask for your support, and I have Chief Werner of the Maple Grove Police Department beside me to testify on the bill.
Thank you, Representative Bonner, and thank you so much, Chief Werner, for joining us today. Welcome. Please introduce yourself for the record and go ahead with your testimony. Oh, yeah, sorry, please go ahead, and then we might have a question or comment for you once you're done with your testimony. Thank you.
Okay. Well, good afternoon, Madam Chair, members of the committee. I just want to say thank you for the opportunity to speak today. My name is Eric Werner. I'm the Chief of Police for the City of Maple Grove. And I'm providing testimony in support of the bill before you that would allow for the refundable sales tax exemption on our materials and supplies for the construction of the North Metro Regional Public Safety Training Facility in Maple Grove. I'd just like to give you some background on the facility. Our regional facility, as been mentioned, serves almost 20 law enforcement agencies from the local, county, state to the federal level to include post-secondary institutions. The expansion of the project adds over 30,000 square foot to provide state-of-the-art technology and facilities for additional classroom space for de-escalation and crisis intervention training, simulation space for scenario-based training, dedicated decision-making simulations lab, and also some increased firearms lanes for firearms training. Our facility, we have over 1,700 officers that go through that facility each year. And Maple Grove did receive state bond funds in the amount of $3.5 million in support of the project during the 2020 legislative session, and the project is currently under construction. We do plan to be fully operational by April 1 of this year, and the City of Maple Grove, the Hennepin County, and the cities of Plymouth and Brooklyn Park, who are our main JPA users of the facilities, are funding the balance of the $17.5 million project. The taxable materials are estimated at about $4.5 million, with an exemption impact of about $310,000. We believe that including this tax exemption for our regional facility allows the city and its partners to maximize its investment in the expansion project, and we believe it will ultimately allow us to bring the highest level of quality technology facility and training for our law enforcement officials. So, Madam Chair, members of the committee, again, thank you for the opportunity, and I'm available for any questions you may have, and I also have our finance director here as well.
Great. Thanks again, Chief, for joining us today. We appreciate you coming to share about this facility. Representative Davids, did you have a question or a comment for the testifier or for Representative Bonner?
Yes, I do. Thank you, Madam Chair, and I think this is a very good bill, and we should support it. But I would suggest, rather than having every police chief in the state in here, which we're glad to do, of course, if we would go with the Swazinski bill from a couple of years ago that just did this statewide, I think that would be much better, rather than taking the chief's time, having him come in here when he should be keeping Maple Grove safe, which I'm sure he's got backup. It's all good, I'm sure. But this is something, if you think about it for just a second, we have government taxing government. If somebody came down from Mars and said, you have government taxing government, they go right back to Mars. Because this makes no sense whatsoever. I've seen a bunch of the proposals here. I'm for them all except maybe House File 414. That might be a clunker there. But that being said, I don't know why this committee wouldn't support all of these and support a Swazinski-like bill. I think we're trying to figure out if it was in the bill last year that from Chair Marquardt that didn't quite make it across the finish line. But this is a good bill, House File 152, and so is 414 and 351. And we should, just as state policy, in my opinion, not tax cities, counties, townships for government-type related activities. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Representative Davids, for those comments. Yeah, so as I mentioned at the beginning, I think we're sort of hearing these, knowing that what we're going to do is take a look at sort of a more comprehensive approach, especially once we know where our spending target is in this committee. I do just want to note that what I believe came out of the conference committee last year was a two-year exemption. If I looked at the governor's bill, has a 3.5-year exemption this year. It's almost $250 million. So I think that's sort of, you know, as we're kind of thinking about the budgetary implications, that does provide some limitations to this. But I'm definitely, we're going to be having those conversations moving forward. Yes, Representative Davids.
I think we did put this in place, and somebody can correct me if I'm wrong. When I first got here, the first week I was here in 1991, we had a humongous budget deficit of $792 million. Mm-hmm. And so the deal was the governor's going to cut, Governor Carlson was going to cut local government aid and CPA and all those things. And, of course, the cities and counties didn't like that at all. So the compromise was, we're not going to cut your local government aid and CPA and all that, but we're going to tax your purchases. Now, we've spent since 1991 whittling away. I think we got rid of the ambulance one first. We don't tax any. And so it's kind of been a piecemeal. I think we're in a perfect position right now just to get rid of it because, again, the state taxing cities is just bizarre to me, but that's where it comes from. And there was a need for it at the time. We needed to do it. That's where it comes from. And I see, let's finish it off and get rid of it.
Thank you, Representative Davids, for that history. I think like a lot of these sort of absurdities we see in our budget, it's like came from some accounting trickery back in the day, and we're trying to recover from a lot of those things from what I can see around here. So thank you for that perspective. Representative Swedzinski, let's go to you first. How about, I have a question too, but it's, you were on the list before me, I think. So Representative Swedzinski.
Madam Chair, you're in charge, so whatever you decide to respond. Just a quick question on the project itself, Madam Chair, to the testifier. Just looking at from a gun range training safety, is that also open to the public, or is it strictly for law enforcement use?
Chief Werner.
Madam Chair, Representative, there is a portion of it that is open to the public for gun range use.
Representative Swedzinski?
Sounds good. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Yeah.
And then just also, that's all I have to ask.
Okay. So two things actually for Ms. Hagler I have. First, I was wondering if you could just give us a quick kind of overview of the liability implications of sort of the entity that's purchasing the materials. I think that's sort of just this little piece that I think it's important for the committee to understand. And then secondly, I just wonder if you can explain, because I saw that this is, and this is just for my own curiosity, maybe I should know this, but I saw this, that this is a refundable credit, so I understand how that works in, like, income taxes, that if your tax liability is less than the credit, then you still get that amount of, then you get sort of that extra amount above the liability between the tax liability and the credit refunded to you as cash. But can you just like run down how that works in this context for me? Thank you.
Madam Chair and members, so I'll probably answer your second question first. The refundability of this is more like a refund. So the sales tax is paid up front when a purchase is made, and then the cities or the contractor would essentially just save the receipts and submit to the Department of Revenue for a full refund of the tax that they spent. So they're getting the full amount of sales tax paid back from the department. And in the statute, there is an appropriation to the Commissioner of Revenue to issue these refunds.
Okay. So it's not like they're going to get a check for more than the tax they paid. It's just about sort of the mechanism. Okay.
Madam Chair, that's correct.
Okay. Thank you, Ms. Hagler. I appreciate that.
And then, Madam Chair, to your first question, the testifier may correct me if I'm wrong, but the liability incurs when the person who is purchasing the construction materials and possibly holding them, if the city doesn't want to do that themselves, they have the contractor do it, and it's the contractor who then is liable. So because the contractor is not the government entity, that is why the sales tax is imposed.
Great. Thank you for that context. Are there any other questions on Representative Bonner's bill? All right. Not seeing any. Thank you, Representative Bonner. Thank you so much for joining us, Chief Werner. And House File 152 is laid over for possible inclusion in the omnibus tax bill. Next up, we have House File 414. Welcome to your committee, Chair Lislegarde. I believe Representative Davids wants to move that House
File. Chair, yes. I move that House File 414 be laid over for possible inclusion in the omnibus tax bill. It's a fine piece of legislation. Fine.
One of the finest pieces of legislation, I think, I venture to say. So, great. Thank you for that motion, Representative Davids. Please go ahead, Representative Lislegarde, whenever you're ready.
Well, I do have, Madam Chair, I do have an amendment that I would like to offer to get the bill in the shape to present, if that's okay.
Absolutely. Chair Lissigard's moving the A2 amendment. Is there any discussion on that motion? Gets the bill in the form the author needs it? Not seeing any. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Nay. All right. Motion carries. So House File 414, as amended, is before the committee.
Well, thank you, Madam Chair, Ranking Member Davids. I know I appreciate your comments earlier, but I got all dressed up, so I just wanted to have an opportunity to present my bill. Thank you, Madam Chair, for the opportunity. Under the current law, for school districts to receive the benefit of the local government sales tax exemption for construction projects, they must follow a very cumbersome set of rules. The current required process to secure the sales tax exemption adds considerable risk and potential cost to the contracting process. As a result, many school districts choose not to use this program, costing more money. House File 414, as amended, will make it easier for 8 school district construction projects in northeastern Minnesota to take advantage of this exemption, thus for them to reinvest money back into the projects. This is particularly important right now because we all know the supply chain issues and the increased costs for construction. The Rock Ridge School District on the Iron Range, which I'm very proud of, in northeast Minnesota, stands to gain almost $3 million due to this bill and exemption. That money would be reinvested into their project, which currently has more than $6 million of pandemic-related funding gap due to no fault of their own, and this benefit of exemption, it would be greatly needed. With me, I have Noelle Schmidt, the superintendent of Rock Ridge, and next we will have Annie Oakley and her daughter to testify on for Ely.
Excellent. Thank you, Representative Lissagard, and welcome to the committee. I don't know if I call you.
No, don't.
Superintendent or doctor, or maybe both. Dr. Schmidt, welcome to the committee. We appreciate you being here. Please introduce yourself.
Oh, thank you, members of Madam Chair and members of the committee. Don't worry, I've been called much worse.
But not on TV.
So here's why I'm here. I'm from Rock Ridge, the superintendent of Rock Ridge, which is probably one of the best educational stories anywhere in the upper Midwest and in Minnesota that many people have probably not heard of. What's happened up there and is happening up there is exceptional by almost any measure. Here's what happened. 2 school districts, ancient rivals for 100 years. We even had a hockey movie about one of the schools. We were on the cover of the Star Tribune. They did an article about the hockey program. In 2 separate simultaneous elections, at the same time, before consolidation occurred, these 2 districts voted to build 2 elementary schools and 1 high school in a cooperative effort. Then they voted to consolidate. Who does this? I mean, I was involved in 4 public elections over 18 months, all 4 of them passed. We live in one of the poorest areas in the state of Minnesota. Yeah. Our community citizens up there get everything that we're supposed to do. We're still trying to figure out and doing everything we're supposed to do. We are building a brand new Career Academy High School for all kids, not just some kids, all kids. It is gonna be done in a couple weeks. There isn't going to be anything like this anywhere in the upper Midwest. I am not using hyperbole right now. Because of how it's designed, where the community has said yes, they wanted to design a building based on 21st century career academies, small groups, large groups, traditional classrooms, so that we are encompassing everything for our kids. 2 elementary schools that are based on 21st century skills, yes, deal with reading, math, and science. And the community said yes. So we build 1 elementary school, boom, on target, on budget. High school, on time, on budget. The 3rd elementary school, North Star Elementary School, here's what's happened and why I'm sitting here. So we passed these in 2019. So 2 buildings started construction immediately. However, the 3rd building, we couldn't start construction right away. Because where are we going to put 600 kids? We had nowhere to put them, so we had to wait. The boards had to wait and pause. Since that time, COVID, inflation hit. That 3rd building like I have never seen before. We priced the buildings right. We did it right. The voters knew. We have not done any scope creep, which is what everybody's worried about. We haven't added anything. to the projects. The bids come in on the third building, $7,301,715, over what they were supposed to cost. And this is even when we included inflation back in 2019 at the normal 2 or 3%. Who has that much money in their reserve? No one. We don't have it. So the reason why I'm hearing is, in short, we're just asking you to help out the citizens and the community. They have done everything that they should be doing to get the best education for their kids. So we're asking anything you can possibly to help us out so we can at least pay for part of the construction of the third elementary school.
Thank you so much, Superintendent Schmidt, for your testimony. Okay, so we have another testifier. Stay close in case anybody has any questions, please, Superintendent. But our this other testifier we have signed up is Anna Welke, or you're going to have to pronounce or correct me on the pronunciation of your name, the principal of Ely Public Schools.
Yes, I have to correct everybody with my name, and that's okay. I'm well known, I think, now down here as Annie Oakley, but my name is Ann Elke. So I do have my daughter with me. She came last spring when I did some testimony on similar bills, and she enjoyed the Capitol, so she came with me again. She actually begged me to come.
Excellent. So, welcome back.
So Chair Gomez and Vice Chair Norris and Ranking Member Davids, my name is Ann Elke, and I am the elementary principal for the Independent School District of 696 in Ely, Minnesota. I'm proud to say that I'm a graduate of Ely Memorial High School, returning after college to teach at the elementary Washington Elementary School in Ely, and now I've been serving as a principal for the last 12 years. So let me begin by thanking Representative Liz Lagarde for bringing forward this bill, House File 414, a combined bill for several public school districts in northern Minnesota. In 2020, the citizens of Ely began the process to modernize the Ely school campus by connecting the 100-year-old elementary and high school buildings with a new building with a secured entrance that would include 21st century learning space for science, technology, engineering, a new gymnasium, a new library and media center, a new food service area, and additional energy efficiency and technology upgrades to the two existing 100-year-old buildings. Our new building is built and we have moved in this year. Very beautiful, yes. The entire project was to cost a bit more than $20 million, with $10 million coming from the taxpayers of Ely, and $7 million from the taconite taxes as part of the Department of Iron Range Resources School Collaboration Program. The use of LTFM funding combined with a modest federal grant for a secured entrance made up a difference for our project. As in the case for so many other projects, pandemic-related supply chain issues and increases in the cost of building materials have caused the project to unexpectedly increase by over $6 million for us. The sales tax exemption proposed by Representative Liz Lagarde will help us reinvest much-needed dollars back into the project and help to fill the funding hole. In the case of Ely, almost $370,000 can be reinvested in the project as we work to find different ways to fill the funding deficit. I want to assure members that our project contains nothing frivolous. We're talking about technology and energy upgrades to our two 100-year-old buildings to serve our students for the years to come. We're talking about safety upgrades that will keep our students and teachers safe. I'm sorry. We are talking about new modern learning spaces that we can train students with the skills that they'll need to either enter the workforce upon graduation or go on for further education. Chair Gomez and Tax Committee members, thank you for your consideration and for your support for public schools like ours at the end of the road in Ely, Minnesota. If any of you are in the Ely area at the end of the road, please come by and tour our new campus. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Thank you for that kind invitation, Principal Elke, and thanks for being back with us today. We appreciate it. To member questions, first to Representative Davids.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And I'm trying to think, is it the Ely Wolves?
Yep, we're the Timberwolves.
Timberwolves. Oh, I got it wrong. Sorry. Okay. Timberwolves. Okay, so now a couple questions here for the author of the bill. I believe that this bill was in last year's tax bill, and it would have been just fine had the tax bill been signed, right? So we've done this before. I mean, it's a different legislature now, but so this, we have approved this in the past. And maybe Ms. Hagler or somebody of, or maybe Chair Liz Lagarde, of these eight schools, how many of them have had the contractor purchasing the material, or how many have had the school district doing it? Or are they all contractors?
Chair Lissigard pointed to somebody.
Well, I would ask Ms.
Oh, Ms. Hagler.
Ms. Hagler.
Madam Chair and Representative Davids, I would have to double check as to which ones were included in last year's bill of these eight, but I wouldn't know which ones had the contractor purchase the materials.
Okay,
that might be a better question for
Thank you, Madam Chair, because you can either do it where the school does, but some have wanted to limit their liability, so they have the contractor do it. Maybe they're all contractors. I don't know.
Sounds like maybe Ms. Hagler will get back to you on
if
that.
If you could check out.
To that sort of liability issue.
Yep. To the author of the bill, Rockridge Public Schools, and I should know this because I toured up there. What towns are we talking about here?
Representative Lissigard.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and Representative David. So that is Eveleth, Virginia, Gilbert, and the surrounding areas. So the rivalry is the Virginia Blue Devils and the former Eveleth Golden Bears, where Johnny Mayasich, the greatest hockey player of the state of Minnesota, played.
So, Madam Chair and Representative Lissigard, so what's the Rock Ridge team name?
The Wolverines, and they are fierce, and they're
The Wolverines versus the Timberwolves, Representative Davids. But we're getting into hockey talk and taxes, which it's good to be home again.
Well,
Representative Davids,
Madam Chair, thank you for showing great leniency. But I'm a little confused now. Rock Ridge Wolverines, but that's Ely. Is Ely part of Rock Ridge, or is Ely?
No, we're the Timberwolves. Timberwolves.
The Timberwolves versus the Wolverines. Yes. Representative Davids.
I'm so confused. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Well, congratulations to Chair Lissigard. You have confused Representative Davids. It's quite an achievement.
All the time.
just before we go to Representative Swedzinski, I want to say that I misspoke earlier when I said that a blanket two-year exemption was included in the conference committee report that was ultimately not adopted by the legislature last year. That was actually in the House position. And what came out of the conference committee was these sort of individual freestanding exemptions. So just to correct my mistake there. To Representative Swedzinski.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And this would be to the author of the bill, but it looks, you know, if you look at each one of the schools it looks like some of the projects started in 2019 and you would have a retroactive. Are any of the projects that are listed currently done?
Representative Lissigard, or should we go to, back to Superintendent Schmidt?
I would, Madam Chair,
yes.
Representative Zubinski, I would believe that, yes, one of the projects for sure would be done, correct, Superintendent?
Well, our middle building is completely done. So we have some existing parts of our project, so our exterior windows, our interior doors, things like that we had to remove since we didn't have enough funds for it. But our existing, the connecting building is done that you can come in with it.
Thank you, Principal Elke. Did you have anything else to add, Superintendent Schmidt?
Yes, thank you, members of the tax committee. The only thing I would add in our specific case, this is unique. Yes, we are asking to go back into 2019 because that is when the original vote occurred. And we would just like to give the citizens and residents of the new Rockridge District what they voted for. That's all we're asking to have happen.
Great. Thank you. Representative Swedzinski.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Just from a precedent-setting standpoint, I get that these are kind of all in one particular area. And it's rare just in general to do it for schools. I happen to carry a bill three, 4 years ago that was able to reimburse that, but that was for a project that hadn't started or was in the process of. And so, you know, I think the legislature potentially opens itself up to a vast majority of projects to say that if we can simply look back to say if it appears that the legislature is favorable to these, that, well, we could just look back at a city sewer project that happened 3 or 4 years ago that's completed, and we're going to just kind of reimburse that to those taxpayers. And just, you know, that's potential. You could see an influx of projects. You know, we have enough on our billet to begin with just for projects that are either started or currently going on or into the future. If we start reaching back into projects that may have already been completed, it could potentially open up the legislature to a mammoth of potential asks.
Thank you for that flag, Representative Swidzinski. We have a couple other members on deck, but I'm going to go first to Representative Lissagard for any response you wanted to offer.
Thank you, Madam Chair. To the project that you just heard about, Rock Ridge, it's kind of unique. I believe there were three projects that it was voter approval prior to the pandemic. I believe one was in Representative David's district, Rock Ridge, and Ely. And so they're unique in that sense. And also, they did come. We just didn't get it over the finish line. So it is not a typical request with the circumstances that I just stated.
Thank you, Representative Lissagard. To Representative Koznick.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And I think Representative Swidzinski brings up a valid point. However, you know, Lakeville, we're just in the process of building a new school. We've got among the highest single-family permit issued every year for probably the last five, in the top 10 for the last 10 years. So I think Representative Swidzinski brings a very good point. But if we are going to open it up, I'd love to get Lakeville School's new middle school, elementary school in there. We also did a variety, you know, with the growth that we're experiencing, we had to do like four additions to all our elementary schools. I think in this case, you know, when you got some outdated schools over 100 years old, I understand perhaps why they're doing that without the immense growth that we're experiencing. But if the chair does determine that we can open this up for a lot of past projects, let me know, because I'm sure I've got one specific in there, and maybe we can throw in those additions for Lakeville school districts too.
Sounds good, Representative Koznick. I would just note for members that the proposal that the Governor Walz included in his budget does do a blanket exemption that's retroactive to July of 2021, I believe. So, you know, that discussion, again, both about kind of duration, whether we're doing a blanket exemption, and this retroactivity question, I think, are all kind of on the table as we're moving forward. So thank you for that, Representative Koznick. Representative Davids.
Well, thank you, Madam Chair. And a little precedence here. We have gone retroactive in tax rules before. Now, you've got a smaller town, a smaller school. This is a big deal to them. And we've had the hearings in the past, and we have gone retroactive. I think we have some exceptional circumstances here. I mean, you had COVID hit, you had the inflation, that cost more money, and then they come and do their due diligence last year, and it's in the bill, and they're coming back this year for obvious reasons. So as far as opening it up, I'm in, especially if there's a project in Minneapolis, but I'm all in with the Swidzinski bill. The Swidzinski bill takes care of this stuff, or most of it, from what I can figure out. So that's a discussion for another day. We're not on that now. Or call it whoever bill you want, whatever. But there's some exceptional circumstances here. These school districts are put in a box, and we need to help them get out.
Thank you, Representative Davids. Anybody else? All right. Any closing comments for us before we move your bill?
This is a great bill. I'd appreciate your support.
All right. And with that, Representative Davids renews his motion that House file. So House file 414 as amended is laid over for possible inclusion in the omnibus tax bill. Representative Robbins.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I just appreciate your indulgence. My apologies. I was in a meeting that went long, and I missed the opportunity to express my support for Representative Bonner's bill, giving the tax exemption for our North Metro range. And I am a co-author on this bill, have worked hard on getting that project through with Representative Bonner, and I just want to indicate my strong support. Thank you, members.
Thank you so much, Representative Robbins, for that. And Representative Davis.
See, Madam Chair, that's retroactive.
All right. See, we're already doing retroactivity in the Tax Committee. Nobody worry about it. All right. So next up is House File 351. Representative Jacob, welcome to the committee.
Thank you.
So I'm going to move that House File 351 be laid over for possible inclusion in the omnibus tax bill. Representative Jacob, please tell us about your bill.
Sure. Thank you, Chair Gomez, members of the committee. So hopefully what we've got before us here today is just a very straightforward, simple bill. What we've got here is in 2018, in the city of Mazeppa, in my district, experienced a large fire that destroyed a business on their main street. In 2019, the legislature granted a sales exemption for materials used to rebuild that site. Due to the pandemic, the rebuilding was delayed. The bill simply asked to extend the already granted sales tax exemption through the end of 2024. And I do have a city administrator here from Mazeppa to testify to the bill.
Thank you so much, Representative Jacob. Before we turn to him, I think, do you have an amendment to this bill, an A1 author's amendment?
Yes. So basically, I just reintroduced a bill that was introduced last year. And with that, it had the extension that expired on the end of 2023. So I just simply amended that to the end of 2024.
All right, sounds good. I'm not sure everybody has the amendment, but it's really simple. Okay, just turns it from 2024 to 2025. So I'm going to move the A1 amendment to get the bill in the form that the author needs. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed, please say no. All right, motion carries. So sorry to interrupt. That was my fault. I should have done that at the beginning. So we are going to turn to testifiers now. And welcome to the committee, Mr. Nargang.
Thank you, Chairman and members of the committee. As you know, as you may not know, we experienced a large fire.
I'm sorry, could you just, I apologize for interrupting. Will you just introduce yourself at the beginning for the record and then go ahead with your testimony?
My name is Carl Nargang. I am the administrative clerk for the city of Mazeppa. In 2018, we experienced a large fire in our downtown area. It took out two buildings, and we've been looking to rebuild on that spot because we don't have a large downtown area, and we want to keep it as vibrant as possible. We feel that if we can incentivize someone to start from the ground up, it's just a little bit different than when somebody moves into a building and they renovate or something like that, because they've got something to start with. Here we're starting from the ground up, so we're looking for an extension on the original bill that would allow whoever builds there for tax exemption on building materials and business equipment, so that we can fill the hole in the gap in our downtown area. We believe that even though it's not a huge amount of money compared to the total cost, that between this and TIF investments that the city can make into this venture, is like it will give the startup a leg up for their first few years, thus being able to establish themselves and move forward. We think that incentivizing someone to fill this downtown space will also maybe encourage others to renovate or update buildings to, you know, make the downtown area of our small community much more vibrant.
Excellent. Thank you so much for your testimony. Are there any questions or comments on this bill? All right. I'm just going to make a comment, I think quickly. And, you know, I want to thank Representative Jacob for bringing this forward. And I think this might be the first bill that you're presenting.
Yes, it is.
Well, you did an excellent job. we're not going down that Boo. Boo.
Look good.
Representative Olson.
Madam Speaker, I would like to just clear the record here. Representative Jacob called me today, and he said, I'm told I'm supposed to bring treats, and I told him I don't imagine that the chairwoman would bring that up as your first one. I would just try and let it slide past. So I will bring the treats.
Thank you, Representative Olson. We'll be looking forward to that in the future. Representative Swedzinski.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Just to Representative Jacob, appreciate your presentation on this. You know, it's obviously you know, a big deal to the city of Mazeppa, but, you know, is Mazeppa known for any food-related items?
Representative Jacobs, very important one.
Yeah, certainly not beer. I know that. Yeah, and this really is just a simple extension of a bill that's already granted them this this approval in the past. So, and the bill was before the committee here a year ago, and didn't get the business done last year, but this would sure be great for the community. So I sure appreciate your support.
Thank you, Representative Jacob. This, you know, some conversations about this, I think, like, just predated you coming to the legislature, of course, because this fire was a number of years ago. But it kind of got a little bit caught up, I think, in something that happened in my community in 2020, which was that, you know, there was a civil unrest in Minneapolis, as many of you know, probably everybody knows, after George Floyd was killed by the Minneapolis Police Department. And I represent, we don't have a main street in Minneapolis, but like the main street of South Minneapolis, as Representative Kosnick knows because he's been there a lot, is Lake Street. And, you know, a number of businesses, both on Lake Street, also on Broadway, on West Broadway in North Minneapolis, on University Avenue in St. Paul, were damaged by fire. And, you know, so when fire breaks out in your community, it's sort of terrifying because it spreads. And so, you know, there's just this real, so I just can relate to having that kind of damage right in your community is really hard. It's very hard on, of course, on the directly impacted business owners. And, you know, that's who we're trying to support here. So I guess I just would say that I do support, I support this bill because I believe that whether it's Mazeppa or Minneapolis, when, you know, one part of our state experiences a tragedy, that we have to show up for each other. And so, you know, I'm not trying to bring other issues into this bill, but I want to bring that up because it's come up before as we've discussed this, is that, you know, it's the right thing to do for us to show up for each other in times of tragedy, no matter who it is and no matter where we are. So thank you for bringing this bill forward, Representative Jacob. And with that, House File 351 is laid over for possible inclusion in the omnibus tax bill, as amended, excuse me, House File 351 as amended is laid over for possible inclusion in the tax bill. Thank you so much for being here.
Madam Chair.
Representative Davids.
Well, Madam Chair, at the beginning of the meeting, I was thinking the Swedzinski bill was the be-all and end-all and would have taken care of all these, but as I actually read the bills, I usually don't read the bills, but they were one page. So as I read the bills, these three bills I don't think would have been affected by the Swedzinski, maybe some of the school ones, but I just want to thank you for hearing these bills because there's some things that probably wouldn't have been covered by that blanket Swedzinski bill to do this. So thank you, Madam Chair.
Okay. Thank you, Representative Davids, for that. Anyone else? All right. So we're meeting tomorrow, Thursday, February 2nd. We're going to be hearing a few bills from all from our tax committee members. So looking forward to that. And with that, we are adjourned.